Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome back. I continue my conversation with the journalist, filmmaker, writer, Kay Rubicek. We're talking about your films and about your book, Who Are China's Walking Dead? A Personal Journey into the Strange World of Communist Culture and Officialdom. Let's talk about that. You chose to talk to the people doing the persecuting. How did you get to them, and how did you get any of them to talk?
I found some who had defected, and one of them had spoken to a newspaper. And so I thought, okay, that's a starting point. I can try him. And so then I had to gain their trust, because so many of them looked at me and said, young white woman, you know nothing, and you will never will. Basically, that's how they saw me for majority of them. So I really had to go in there and once I could actually get them agree to talk to me. So a lot of them, a lot older males, majority of them. I just said, you know, please treat me as a niece or a granddaughter, and just, will you just teach me? Just teach me. Because I had all my concepts of, for example, I spoke to a man who ran not just one slave labor prison camp, but multiple in China. He ran them. He was responsible for them. And I expected him to tell me things that, you know, that this was a bad place or bad things happened there. But he just talked about it as if he was just working in any factory making machines. This is their world. And so I just had to try and be open and try and gain their trust. And once they knew that I'd spent a day in a Chinese prison and my father had grown up in China, that my family's escaped communism, it helped to bridge that gap. I had a very good setup for the filmmaking process so that there was very few people in the room. The translator was in another room. I could look at them eye to eye and hear a translation. I had very, very particular on translation. So I had all these things set up, and it just took a lot of effort, but I felt it was worthwhile. And I just wanted a few minutes for the movie, but when they started to tell me these things, I didn't want to publish it because I thought, I don't want to call anyone Walking Dead. This is awful. And I sat on it for 5 years until I saw what was really going on here, and I felt I need to share this information, especially for the American public, because there's nowhere left to run from America.
It's just amazing. Now, when you say that you spoke to someone who ran some of these slave labor prison camps, let's just start there, folks. In China, they have slave labor prison camps. The other day, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, this is absolutely astonishing, said that, they're a free country and they're a democracy. But I just thought to myself, if any idiot said that, I would want to call them an idiot. But when someone who has been a leader in American public life for this long could say something like that, you think, does this woman believe this? Does she not know what anyone who cares to pay attention would know? You don't have slave labor camps in a place that has that could in any way be called free or a democratic society. So we have some of our own leaders going along with these really wicked lies. That's to me the most astonishing thing, that Americans would go along with this.
And we do fall for their propaganda. So the Chinese Communist Party has changed the name of these slave labor prison camps to re-education camps. And we say, oh, great, They're just drug rehabilitation is one of the latest terms, and we say, oh great, they're doing better now. They haven't changed anything with inside the system.
So who do they send to these places?
Oh, they send they're always full. there's a huge population. It's whoever the regime is targeting at the time. And there's been, huge numbers of Falun Gong practitioners, huge numbers now of Uyghurs, Christians, anyone who's standing up against the state, anyone who, they're just targeting for crime, petty criminals. There's really a huge, huge population.
But so when we say slave labor, that's bad enough. But it seems to me that there are American companies that are benefiting from some of this. Yeah. Slave labor. Do we know which companies have looked the other way when it comes to that kind of thing?
Any company doing business with China is potentially using a slave labor prison camp for their production, and because they hide it well, where they'll say, okay, I spoke to, say for example, women who made books, but they would do all the folding. Of course, no pay under horrific conditions. They would do all the folding and then of the pages, and those pages would then get taken to the publisher. And the publisher would then slice and dice and bind, send them off. Another young boy, he was 14 when he was kept in the slave labor prison camp. 14. And they took away his glasses so he could barely see anything. And they just gave him big piles of beans, raw beans, and he had to sort them. And he was told they were being sent to America. Beans, like black-eyed peas, peas and beans. These are rolling chopsticks, disposable chopsticks, wrapping them in paper. He said he will never use disposable chopsticks again in his life, even though he's now in freedom in America. I've spoken to so many of these survivors. They've shown me the products they've made. They've even found them in stores here in the US. US companies, we are being duped to think that we can sell out for a few bucks and gain something from there. And unless it's so hard to get a complete tour of every stage of the workflow of your production. And many people, I'm sure there's businesses that know they are using prison labor, but they will turn a blind eye, and because maybe they get a show display and say, well, look how well our prisoners are treated. And maybe they're given 10 cents an hour, a quarter an hour or something. They don't get that. We are being duped. We've got to remember we're dealing with a criminal state.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, if somebody says, in other words, you try to think, how do people get to a place where they would do these kinds of things, where an American corporation would do that? And you could see their thinking. They would say, well, listen, somebody's in prison. They've got to do something. Why would I blame the communist government for taking prisoners and causing them, instead of sitting around, that they're going to work? Why is that so wrong, right? Well, first of all, folks, you have to understand, if somebody's in prison for doing something really wicked, you can have that conversation. But in China, people go to prison because they dare to voice their thoughts against this Chinese communist view. And that is what's so horrifying, because then you realize every single one of us would be considered guilty. If you dare to think that communism is not a wonderful thing, if you dare to speak against it, if you dare to speak against any of the things that most of us purport to believe in China, you would very quickly be sent to one of these places and be forced to work under brutal conditions. And we in America now, we're benefiting from that evil. We pay 5 cents less or a dollar less, and we say, well, hey, isn't that great? Isn't the global economy great? So you're right, we have been duped. And this happened under Clinton, the most favored nation status, whatever. I mean, American politicians have bought these lies.
They have. And with there was a man that I interviewed who spent 13 years in a Chinese prison, and I had to undergo a lot of slave labor. He was sentenced for printing flyers. I saw the original documents that was given by the Chinese court for printing flyers. And when I took him to Alcatraz here in the US, not an easy experience for him, but I wanted to see how the prison system compares with what he experienced with some type of prison in the US. You know what he said to me? He was looking at one of the boards, had a photo of the prisoners in Alcatraz, and I heard him say to his wife, look how white their clothes are. He said they must have been treated well here. In China, he had no change of clothes. The electric baton was the least of his troubles. It was the infection, because he was not allowed to clean or shower. And we're talking months and months and months at a time. We are not talking normal prison conditions over there.
We have to go to a break, folks. Tough stuff. The book is Who Are China's Walking Dead? In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
We used to laugh. We used to cry. We used to bow our heads.
Folks, I'm talking to Kay Rubicek, author of Who Are China's Walking Dead? Personal Journey into the Strange World of Communist Culture and Officialdom. So we're talking about prison conditions in China, that people who are, we would call them completely innocent, they're not criminals, but because they dare to stand in any way against the Chinese government, they are sent into really extraordinarily grim, horrifying situations where they then produce goods that we in the West buy, and we turn a blind eye. Our officials and government turn a blind eye. Corporate leaders turn a blind eye. What can we do? Because it's a horrific thing to think that we ourselves, listening to this program, that we are participating in enabling them to profit in this country, in China, I should say, from treating people like animals. What might we in America do?
Often we're told the argument that, well, if you say don't buy from made in China, that, well, you're not helping the Chinese people, and that by buying from made in China goods, you're actually helping the Chinese people come out of oppression. It's not helping people come out of oppression, and I can say that after interviewing more than 100 people who have come out of that type of oppression, especially from China. They do not want that prison labor system, and they don't want to support it. They are refusing to buy made in China goods themselves after getting out and finding freedom. So why aren't we? You follow the money, you vote with your dollar, and you decide what you want to do with things. I say to my kids, look, I'm not sure if I let's not buy that one right now. Maybe we'll save up and get something a little bit, or we'll look for something local. You know, maybe you have to try a little harder, but it's a choice.
I mean, it's a funny thing because, you know, I would say buy American just because it's a good thing to buy American. But then when you hear this sort of thing, you think, what have I done with my money? With God, I would say it's God's money, and I'm spending it, and I'm helping an oppressive, inhuman leadership in China to oppress their own people. And I mean, I think Americans, folks, we've got to take this seriously. I don't know what we can do exactly, but there are many things we can do. And one of those things is, when you can, don't buy things made in China. It's kind of simple.
It's very simple. And so many of the Chinese that I've interviewed, Chinese people, and I like to make the distinction that China is not the Chinese Communist Party, and the Chinese people is not the Chinese right. Communist Party. They're wonderful human beings, like all human beings. They have the value of life. And they have told me, and they've shown me their textbooks, even to this day, they are taught to hate America. So we shouldn't be duped to think that buying made in China, that we are helping the Chinese people. We are helping a really dictatorial, evil regime that does not have our best interests and is trying to extend a lot of control here into the U.S. and is supporting these socialist ideologies here.
I always say, and I know I mentioned it in my book about it. I wrote a book called If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. And in that book, I talk about how the left and the right made it possible for China to do these things. The left typically is naive when it comes to evil, and they act as though, well, America, we've got our problems, they've got our problems, whatever. So when we gave them most favored nation status in 1997 or whatever it was, the people on the left kind of act like, well, who are we to judge of what's evil? So they tend to discount the evil of a communist regime. But the right often makes an idol of the free market, as though if we trade with them, that the free market will lead to every other kind of freedom. And you think, well, it can, but it also might not. And in this case, we now know 20 years later, 25 years later, it did not. And what it did is it empowered the communist regime to oppress their people more than if we had said, we're not going to trade with you. So it's really a devil's bargain that a lot of people, really just for greed, basically. But their arguments would be like, well, we believe in the free market. We believe it. And you think, well, at what point do you say, I'm not going to trade with somebody? Would you do business with Hitler and with the Nazis, with Jewish slave labor, if you could make a few extra bucks? I mean, at what point do you take a stand?
Exactly. And that's where we think that, well, look at China. Look at how much it's grown. Look at how many supposedly people they've brought out of poverty. And look at these big cities that have grown, and it's rich now. To think it's the lie that capitalism and socialism are polar opposites, or you know, the always fighting. It's really they're in bed together. And in China, it's a perfect example, because according to the constitution from the Chinese Communist Party, I go into this in my book. It's very clear that they are must always maintain absolute national control and money above all else, and that includes human life, environment, human rights, religion, anything.
I know, you know, I've talked a little bit about the Uyghur Muslims who are being killed, murdered, folks. This is young people who are sent to these prison camps. Why? Because they dare say, I am a Muslim, I am a Uyghur, and I will not bow to the atheistic idol of the Communist Party. So they're sent to prison camps. And then this is where it gets really gruesome, is that wealthy sheikhs in the Arab world will say, well, I need an organ, but I don't want a dirty organ from a non-Muslim. In China, if I pay X amount of money, I can get an organ from a fellow Muslim. So they find a 25-year-old young man with a healthy organ. They murder him, and they take his organs. This is the kind of thing that you wouldn't make this up in a novel. It's just too horrific. You've one of your documentaries, you talk about that. Is it the one Hard to Believe?
Exactly, in that title, because it is too hard to believe. It's too hard to believe that human beings would treat each other that way. But this is where you go down with a godless socialist ideology. where you devalue life. And we've seen that throughout this, you know, throughout the last century. And this example to me is just really horrific. And in the hard to believe, we have radio phone call recordings where interviewers have gone undercover calling Chinese hospitals and asking, saying, can we want healthy organs. What can you guarantee? Can you, oh yeah, we can get you a 30-year-old male Falun Gong practitioner. They don't drink or smoke. And so they started that in the early 2000s. And because we didn't stop that then, look, now the Uyghur Muslims have been targeted and they're using exactly the same tools and techniques, but they've added extra technology. And because they're all in one geographic region, they're hugely targeted. So whereas Falun Gong was out throughout the whole nation, it's harder to round them up. You're trying to round them up just like trying to round up people who do yoga or do jogging. How do you ban that? But in Xinjiang, they could identify them according to their headwear or their scarves or religious practices and their physical location. So we've just seen, if we keep allowing these things and saying it's okay, this type of murder is okay. Oh, well, this type of murder is also okay. Then we are just allowing that morality just to slide. And where do we draw the line? We have to draw it somewhere.
Well, it is astonishing. Now who is getting these organs from these murdered prisoners? In other words, I mentioned, I know that in the Arab world that is happening. Do we know that this happens in the West? Are there other countries?
Transplant tourism is the term that they've given it. And it's been people from around the world, including the U.S. It's very hard to get numbers. I have, in Hard to Believe, we investigated hospitals and data sources. There is no national registration for transplant tourists. You can go and get an organ from China right now, come back and receive aftercare here for the transplant, paid by, you know, whatever Medicare or whatever you're using, insurance, and they will not register it anywhere to say that you got that organ.
But now here's the key. You know, or I guess, do they know that this is from a murdered young person? Is that the idea?
I think a lot of people don't want to know. And before it wasn't as obviously known, though China's been doing this apparently since the 1984, which is when they enacted a law that allowed the killing of prisoners for their organs. And they've never changed that law. It's still in existence right now. So that's always been there. It's willful blindness on the part of patients doing that. But it's also now it's more obvious. People are more aware of it, but the medical industry is turning a blind eye to it. And they're very much aware. The volumes of evidence is just really and hard to believe. We investigated why so few people are paying attention, because when we just saw the amount of evidence, it was just... It was phenomenal. That it's really why are we not paying attention?
And this is the film Hard to Believe, which we can find at, what's your website?
krubacek.com. That's RUBACEK.com.
krubacek.com. We'll be right back.
Is the government the best mechanism for fighting poverty? Are there any real-life examples of communities successfully combating addiction and homelessness today? How can we best deliver hope to our nation? Those questions get answered September 23rd on SalemNow.com in an inspiring new motion picture from Kingstone Studios based on a true story. In No Vacancy, a demoted journalist finds her cynicism slowly transformed as she befriends a recovering addict while working a story about a church struggling to purchase a motel for homeless families. No Vacancy, starring Dean Cain, T.C. Stallings, and Sean Young, is based on the true story of First Baptist Leesburg, Florida, and a real location, the Samaritan Inn. Movie reviewers are saying movies like this bring purpose to the big screen, well produced, and the acting is tops. Enough cannot be said about how incredible this true story is, and this film does it justice. Pre-order it September 19th at SalemNow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, September 23rd at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to my listeners. That's you. The Percale and Giza Dream bedsheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're now all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer, because there's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057 now and use the promo code ERIC, or you can go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code ERIC. This offer will not last very long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com.
Darling,
folks, welcome back. Final segment with author Kay Rubacek, R-U-B-A-C-E-K. You can go to krubacek.com, R-U-B-A-C-E-K.com, to find her films. And Hard to Believe is the subject, is the title of the one we're discussing now, that appeared on PBS. And the other one is Finding Courage. Are there others that you have out?
They're the two related to China and related to this book, Who Are China's Walking Dead. But I do have quite a few documentaries that I did last year for the Epoch Times, where I was able to travel around this nation and look for good news stories behind the bad news. So you can also find some great stuff on my website there.
And I thank God for the Epoch Times. They're just doing amazing work. So the book is Who Are China's Walking Dead. And when you decided to write the book, it's because of what you had garnered from your interviews making these two films. Is that the idea, that you had all this other information that you could not get into a documentary film?
And so many people said to me after they watched Finding Courage, we had all of these people that insiders from the regime, and I filmed them on a black background. And so many people said to me, those guys look so interesting. I want to know their story. I want to know more about them. And I said, no, you don't. And I don't want to tell you. But too many people asked me. And I thought, okay, this information isn't out there in a way that is understandable in our culture, in our Western society, because their thinking is so different to ours. For them, they would say a concept, and I would have to put that on a movie, it wouldn't work. You wouldn't understand it. Plus, you'd have to have subtitles. Who's going to watch that? So I said, okay, I'm going to have to write this. I'll tell you one more example is I interviewed an official from the propaganda department in China, and they've now renamed it to the publicity department because it sounds better. It's the same thing. It's still the propaganda department in Chinese. He said, we have two layers of skin. That's a concept we're taught. And this is, again, it's like one of them telling me, we are the walking dead. I'm like, what are you talking about? And the propaganda official says, we have two layers of skin. This is a principle we're taught in the propaganda department. These are the things that they live and breathe, but we need to really understand where they're at, how far this can go. So basically, the two layers of skin is that the outer layer is the lie, and the truth is the inside, but you have to disguise that and you have to hide it. And you can never let the inside layer be shown to the public.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of concept that they follow.
Yeah, it's called lying.
Yeah.
Hey, it's called lying. So let me ask you, you know, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. I'm sometimes the most grieved that the American church is not up in arms over this. So we get involved in all kinds of things and issues and things. And this ought to be at the forefront of the American church's concerns, that when there are people around the world being tortured and murdered, young people, for not towing a political line, and then their organs are being sold. And the idea that people aren't on that, have you, as a Christian, have you ever encountered other Christians who see this as an issue of faith that they need to speak up, or are you speaking mostly to more secular people?
I try to speak mostly to secular people, but I find that people of faith, we need to speak up, because the socialist ideology has also, they want to target the family, break that down, they want to break down our faith. If they can break those two things down, then the state can have complete control directly to every individual. And so they work on infiltrating the church. They work on infiltrating institutions. They've been doing it for what, well before the 50s and 60s. You can follow all their, you know, I when I find the communist textbooks and things that have been the earlier ones that have been leaked, then you can just follow the trail. They've been doing this for a long time. They have very long planning. And breaking down religion, breaking down faith is really what they're depending on. And that's what we have to really maintain and not sell out for a few bucks. And so I think it's people of faith. It's also secular people. But I think the people of faith, we need to really reevaluate, you know, what are our values? What are we willing to defend, and where are we going to draw the line?
Well, listen, in Wilberforce's day, I wrote a biography of William Wilberforce called Amazing Grace, and when he woke up people in England, not just the Christians, but he said, do you understand how your sugar is being made? It is the most wicked form of slavery, unimaginable, worse than we had in the United States. The West Indies, the sugar plantations, but it was so evil. He woke people up and said, we've got to stop buying sugar. We've got to stop. So people were willing to sacrifice because they said, we know that when I use sugar in my tea, where this comes from, it's been produced in a way that is, it's like buying it from hell, and we will not do that. And if Americans who purport to believe in truth, purport to have some kind of faith, if we buy things from China, in other words, unless we develop a social conscience with regard to these things, we're participating in it. So, you know, by having you on here, I wanted to at least begin that conversation. We've just got 30 seconds left. How was it that your father grew up in China?
His parents escaped Russia during the Soviet times. They walked by foot 5 years to find safety in China, and not only, and then to not to have the Communist Party take over only a few years later.
It's just amazing that you have this in your family history, and that's why I think people like you and me, to some extent, because I have some of it in my history, we have to talk about this. We have to say, folks, this is happening in America. You can do something about it. And if you don't, you're part of the problem. So let's get busy. Kay Rubicek, just a joy to get to know you. Thank you. And folks, the book is Who Are China's Walking Dead? Kay, thank you.
Thank you very much. You know I've got so much that I want to do. When I dream I'm alone with you, it's me. You want me to leave it there. Afraid of a love affair. But I think you know.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Our love is alive, and so we begin. Foolishly laying our hearts on a table.
Hey, folks, welcome back. What a day. We've been talking to Kay Rubicek about China, and I was saying at the beginning of the broadcast that this is where we are headed as a nation. Now, that sounds, you know, like hyperbole. Well, it's not. That's the problem. That's why I wrote my book, Letter to the American Church. If the American Church does not speak loudly, boldly, fearlessly, now we are going in that direction. I mean, in fact, we are definitely going in that direction now because of the silence of the church now. The question is, will the church arise and awaken and give voice to the truth that needs to be spoken? Otherwise, that's where we're going. Now, I have to tell you,
The book comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
It's Letter to the American Church. If anybody, if you can buy a, I don't think I've said this, but I'm hoping that people will give this book. It's the shortest book I've ever written. I mean, it's not, you know, you can't really read it in a sitting, but it's much shorter than my normal books. But I'm hoping people will give it to pastors who are wavering, who have been afraid to speak because they think, well, I don't want to be divisive. I don't want to be political. Tim Keller says there's a third way. I can only talk about gospel related issues. That's not right. A lot of good people are getting this very wrong. And that's why I wrote this. There are good people in Germany that got this wrong and led to the rise of evil like we'd never seen. And I want to say that if you think you're exempt or America's exempt, that's hubris. That's preposterous. That's just wrong. And we are absolutely going in that direction right now. And you need to understand it. But I wrote the book hoping particularly that people would give it to maybe timid pastors or to Christian leaders that are confused on this, because we can't be confused on this. This is not a time for us to be confused. We're not going to get away with it. It's horrifying what is happening. And it is only the beginning of astonishing horrors that will happen if we don't speak up.
Yeah. And listen, if you're not a Christian, okay, but you see the craziness that's going on, you should buy this book and give it to a Christian friend and say, hey, why isn't the church speaking up? I don't even believe like you believe, but you should be on the front line of this.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've been reading lately about the run-up to the Civil War, how many churches didn't want to offend. Listen, how many churches, they didn't want to offend slaveholders or pro-slavery people. They didn't understand the urgency, the nightmare. I mean, when you think of people living in slavery, suffering, and you say, well, it's not a gospel issue. I don't want to speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, human beings, we have been prone to sin since the garden, okay? We have done horrible things, and we are right now doing horrible things by our silence. Please, if there's anything you can do about it, do what you can. Speak up. And again, I wrote the book to reason with people who could be reasoned with. There's some people, they don't want to read it. They don't want to hear it. They've got it all figured out. Well, if you know somebody who is open to the truth on this, and again, I mean, this is just Bonhoeffer, right? It's not like, you know, this is Bonhoeffer's message to the German church, which I am trying to speak to the American church. So this is Bonhoeffer's message that was ignored. Will we ignore Bonhoeffer's message today? So that's tomorrow is launch day. If you've read the book, make sure you post a copy at midnight tonight. Post a review on Amazon. If you're going to buy the book, please buy it today, because it really does make a gigantic difference. Now, Alvin, we've got a lot going on this week. Oh, but tomorrow, you're going to interview me about the book. Yes. That's crazy.
Yep.
But we're also talking to Steve Deese. Now, if you don't know who he is, Steve Deese is one of the heroes, folks. He's on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast right after Glenn Beck. I think he had been with Salem. I'm not sure. I'll ask him. But Steve Deese is a hero. I read his tweets. He is bold and brave. And so I'm excited about that for tomorrow. I also want to say, Albin, I don't think we mentioned it. This morning, Georgie, our little dog, woke me up. Why? Well, because the rest of the family was in the living room watching the Queen's funeral procession.
That's right.
Georgie wanted me to be with the family. She obviously knew that this was urgent. But you were just in England, and it's hard not to be moved by the images. And I'm asking myself, you know, what is it about this that is so moving and so beautiful? And I think it has to do with many things, but it points to a little bit of what I'm talking about in my book, Letter to the American Church. The idea that love of country is something so beautiful. The love of tradition is such a, these are beautiful things that are supposed to point to God, not away from God. It's not a choice, love your country or love the kingdom of heaven. If you love your country in the right way with the love of God, you love God more. And so we've been hearing a false message on this idea that patriotism is somehow antithetical to loving God and to worshiping God. Folks, that is flat out wrong. It's not biblical. And when you have a nation that has exalted God imperfectly, but that has lifted his name up, that put his name on their coins, and that has abolished slavery, and that has brought freedom and not just liberty, but economic freedom and religious liberty to hundreds of millions of people. If you don't celebrate those things, if you don't understand that that's part of what it is to love God, your orders, your affections are disordered. And so I want to say that every good thing is of God. And it's not like God gives you a choice, like either you're worshiping the Queen and worshiping Trump, worshiping America, or worshiping me. No, if you are worshiping God, you're going to have a love for your mother and your father and your family and your country and your children. These loves are not competing with God. They're not supposed to compete with God. They're supposed to be a part of your love of God. And we've got to correct that. And that's part of why I wrote the book Letter to the American Church, because there's huge confusion on this in the American church today, and it's led us to where we are. Oh, we're out of time. Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. Hey, folks, welcome back. Boy, we're talking about a lot of things. I want to remind you, people often ask us on the program, hey, Eric, what can I do? What can I do? Well, I know I repeat myself, but I ask you, sign up for the newsletter at ericmetaxas.com, because there's tons of stuff that we send you. Photos of me with Dog the Bounty Hunter, for example. Who doesn't want that? Come on. Wow. That's as American as it gets. I'm not kidding. We're going to send a photo today or tomorrow. My new book is coming out. I ask you to buy the new book, please, and give it to somebody who maybe isn't clear on why they need to be a voice for truth from the pulpit. This is a major deception of our time. I also ask you to support our heroic sponsors on this program, folks. Mike Lindell, I've talked about him. He's the real deal. And I'm asking you, please go to mystore.com. People say, Eric, where can I get your books? Well, except for the new book, you can get them all at mystore.com. Mystore.com. You put in the code Eric and you're supporting Mike Lindell. You're supporting this radio program. Alvin, I got to tell you, I preached in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yes.
And this is the kind of thing where I get tears in my eyes. I sign books after all these services. I'm going to be in Dallas this weekend. We're doing Socrates in the City. When I meet people, they say things to me. And I just thought, this is why I do what I do. A woman came up to me, just beautifully dressed, dark sunglasses. I think she has some kind of an eye problem. Just this beautifully dressed woman, and said, in hushed tones with sobriety, she just said to me, Eric, I have to tell you, you saved my life. Mm. And I thought, what? You know, like I thought, I'm in a book line here. What? She said that reading my book on Martin Luther totally changed her view on the Christian faith. And she went on and on and on and described about how she was facing death. And because of that, she was able to face death, and that just, so moving. I can't tell you, folks, so moving, because she read my book on Martin Luther. Another man came up to me in line and said that my book, Is Atheism Dead, had pulled him back to faith.
Wow.
And I just thought, I cannot, there are no words that I can use to express
my humility and gratitude when I hear stuff like this. I cannot begin to tell you, folks. And so it's why we do what we do here, right? Let's be honest. And there are people out there paying huge prices. I mentioned Mike Lindell. I said you can get our books from Mike Lindell at mystore.com, mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. We have also, I should mention, Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. And I don't want to forget, when people say, Eric, what can I do? You can invest wisely. If you want to know, and I'm asking you to go find out where, how your money's being invested, your IRA, your 401k, we want you to go to inspireadvisors.com. This is important. You have money. It is being invested with companies probably that are utterly antithetical to everything you hold dear. You need to know about it and you need to change it. Inspireadvisors.com. This is a stewardship issue, folks. We are responsible, or at least now you're responsible because you've heard that there's a way out. Inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Check it out. Inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Okay, Albin, tomorrow is launch day. You're going to interview me about my book. A lot of crazy stuff going on. Folks, thank you for listening. God bless you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.